And now it's time for The Last Call with Pastor Marty Nutter of Faith Lutheran Church in Tullahoma.
Today is known as Sanctity of Life Sunday. The third Sunday in January is always recognized in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as Sanctity of Life Sunday. It's a Sunday that underscores just how precious life is from the moment of conception until we draw our last breath. And it's also the fourth Sanctity of Life Sunday in my pastoral ministry since Roe versus Wade was overturned. Remember this date, June 24th, 2022. That is the day that the United States Supreme Court made the historical decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. After 49 years of prayer by millions of people and the unceasing work of the pro-life movement, the court voted to strike down one of the most horrific rulings in the history of our nation. And ironically, on the date that it was struck down, June 24th, it is a date that is known on our church calendars as the Nativity of John the Baptist. Very interesting. You'll recall how John the Baptist, in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, how John leaped for joy. Luke chapter 1, verse 44, Elizabeth said to Mary, "For as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, said Justice Samuel Alito in writing the majority opinion. More than 63 million children were murdered by abortion in the United States during the half century that Roe versus Wade was law. Last year, in 2025, the leading cause of death worldwide was abortion. Over 73 million worldwide. And make no mistake, the battle is far from over. The justice's historic ruling now means that the issue goes back to the states, where legislatures will decide what restrictions, or lack thereof, will be enforced. Following the June 24th decision, 13 states were ready to immediately implement trigger laws that would limit or restrict abortion. Another dozen or so expect tight restrictions on abortion. And there will also be states like Colorado whose laws allow abortion to proceed all the way up to birth. We must know that the heart of the abortion issue isn't political or legal. It's spiritual. It's a rejection of God's law and principles as revealed in Scripture, and a rebellion against His authority over all of life. In a January issue of The Reporter, which is the official newspaper of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a front page article entitled "Respect for Marriage Act, Misnamed Law Threatens Religious Liberty." The president of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Dr. Matthew Harrison, wrote, "Some suggest that if the court could find reason to overturn a half century of legal precedent in Roe, a recent ruling like Obergefell versus Hodges, which codified same-sex marriage on alleged constitutional grounds, could likewise face judicial extinction at the hands of the more conservative court." The bill was passed in the U.S. House of Representatives without debate. It faced a greater potential challenge in the Senate. But to overcome the hurdles, an amendment was proposed and passed to protect the religious freedoms of those who dissent, like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and her agencies and schools and institutions. Critics, and I'm one of them, view the alleged protections as no more than window dressing and believe the bill will make a future even more difficult, requiring more legal action for those claiming First Amendment rights, that is, the free exercise of religion, amendments that would have offered significant protections that failed in the Senate. And as a result, former President Biden signed the so-called Respect for Marriage Act into law on December 13th, 2022, writing gay marriage into federal law. For the church, the chief issue at stake is not the troubling rapid drift of America away from Christianity or morality. The chief issue involves government and society on all levels defining what is moral or not for the church, and particularly for churchly institutions that interface with government. The Respect for Marriage Act have already invited challenges to the nonprofit status of our faithful agencies of mercy and provide impetus for continued challenges to our schools and universities. This may even affect our congregations, since all of them have nonprofit status. And this trend is also a concern for our military chaplains, whose First Amendment guarantees are being squeezed to the conscience-breaking point. Former President Reagan said it well. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values. It was written to protect those values from government tyranny. This morning's text is from a Psalm of David, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, many of the verses of Scripture which deal with this topic and deal with other life and death issues are printed for you in the middle section of your bulletin today. Now, you'll want to take that home and look up these sections of Scripture and take a look at what the Bible has to say on these subjects. A, conception is God's gift. Genesis 25, Judges 13, Luke chapter 1. And then there's listed the section about the child in the womb and what's going on at the different stages of life. I brought some pictures here of when our granddaughter Claire was in the womb inside our daughter, Ruth. And then B, God is the creator of the unborn. Job chapter 10. Didn't you dress me in skin and flesh, knit me together with bones and sinews? Psalm 139, you created my inner being and wove me together in my mother's womb. And Ecclesiastes 11, and in Isaiah 44, Jeremiah chapter 1, and so forth. And then prenatal life has special value before God and stands in relationship to Him. Psalm 51, verse 5, Luke 1, verse 15, and so forth. And finally, D, life and death belong to the province of God. Genesis 9, Exodus 20, Psalm 104, 1 Samuel 2. And while I share with you all this, what God's Word has to say in this area of abortion, God's Word, or even this message, is by no means limited to that arena alone. There are other life and death issues that are undertaken in Scripture. Human life at every stage of its development is valued by God. Scriptures make clear that every human being is a valuable individual, a valuable soul, because every human being is valued by God. The unborn child, like all human beings at every stage of their development, is made in the image of God and made for life with God. The psalmist not only witnesses to God's marvelous creation, but also to God's concern about life within the womb. Psalm 139, verse 13, you, O Lord, created my inmost being and knit me together in my mother's womb. Science and medicine have taught us that the development of a new individual begins at fertilization. God's word says the same thing. Life begins at the moment of conception. Yet, unfortunately, many doctors today are forsaking these all-important truths, as well as abandoning the Hippocratic Oath and the Declaration of Geneva, both of which prohibit abortion. The Hippocratic Oath reads in part, "I will give no deadly drug to any, though it be asked of me, nor will I counsel such, and especially I will not aid a woman to procure an abortion." The Declaration of Geneva states, in part, "I will maintain the utmost respect for human life from the time of conception. Even under threat, I will not use any medical knowledge contrary to the laws of humanity." And both of these documents, the Hippocratic Oath and the Declaration of Geneva, are still valid and are still subscribed to and are still in force today. I remember attending a symposium at Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville and dealt with this preemies and prenatal care and genetics and genetic engineering. And several doctors were on the panel fielding questions. So I asked, "Do you as doctors subscribe to this oath?" And the answer that was given was yes. So I asked, "Then how can some doctors terminate life with such an oath taken?" And the answer that was given was, "We just ignore it. Scripture condemns abortion because abortion is the termination of life. And life is not ours to begin, nor is it ours to end." And someone will say, "Well, how can you say that?" I can say that because the Bible says that. God is the author of life and death, not man. Our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has repeatedly gone on record in convention and elsewhere in opposing abortions, except in cases of rape, incest, or if the mother's life is in danger. Now, personally, and this is just me talking, I even have problems with the exceptions, because it's either all white or all black, no gray areas. Do you realize that these exceptions, rape, incest, and danger to the life of the woman, comprise less than 4%, 3.6% of the reasons, the rationale, behind why abortions are performed? The major reason for the termination of life in this way, within our society today, has been because abortion is viewed as a modern means and method of contraception. You see, and that's one of the problems here. So much is said about a woman's rights when it comes to abortion, that a woman has a right to decide about her own body and her own life. Well, how about the body and how about the life that she carries? Can she answer for another? The Bible teaches, 1 Corinthians 6, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." And there are those that say, "Well, I'm pro-choice," or scriptures teach there are limits to our human freedom. There are limits to our choices, and life and death are among them. To have such limitations on human freedom is not a violation of our country's constitution, but a realization that God is a creator who gives life, and that we are his creation that lives it. Ours is not the role of creator, but the limited role of his creation. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we haven't even gotten past the first one, life. For what purpose is life to be lived? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about your purpose in life? For what purpose am I still here? Life's purpose for you, for me, is the same. Namely, to know Christ and to make him known. To know Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And to be used by God in leading others to him. To be used by God in leading people safely home. Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Celebrate life. Celebrate that great news that the Lord has created life. That the Lord values life at every stage of its development. and recognize the limits which are placed on your human freedom. And may God's Spirit help each of us to see our true purpose in life, to know Christ, and to make Him known. In Jesus' name, amen.
This may well be your last call to ever hear and respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2.